The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, almost 2 minutes after the hour, final hour of Power right here on a back-to-work Monday afternoon. Beautiful out there. Be safe. Be careful, everybody, off from school. So lots of people milling around. Cherry blossoms, all that stuff. Hey, man. Whoever the brain surgeon was that decided, hey, on Cherry Blossom weekend, right, the absolute most prime weekend for Cherry Blossom, which is a DC unique thing. It's not a thing that happens everywhere else, right? DC unique. Let's schedule a Nationals-Phillies game, a very popular road opponent, at 1:35. A DC Defenders game across the street at 3 o'clock, so that people are coming down in the 1 o'clock hour, maybe even earlier. And a Capitals game a mile and a half away at the same time, 3 o'clock. Let's schedule all three of those things within an hour and 25 minutes of each other on Cherry Blossom weekend.
So the Metro put out that they had over 700,000 riders on Saturday, which set a record.
Coming into DC, or you mean throughout the whole
trips,
system?
Just trips that day. Which wow. I took the Metro in to work
for Saturday for
that's
any,
just
any
Saturday.
Day. Okay.
I don't know if it set a record for, because you'd figure a weekday would probably have the record, but they said it was the record probably for a Saturday. I think they had not broken 600,000 since COVID until like a week or two ago, and then now they've broken 700,000. So ridership is clearly up during these times. And let me tell you, someone that took the Metro to go to work twice that day, it was awful. It was awful.
So what's interesting is, all right, so a couple of things. Obviously, prime Cherry Blossom. DC United was also home that night against Columbus. And the Nationals and the Phillies played a 4:05 game. So again, what you didn't have, I think the Wizards were home for the Brooklyn Nets, but at night. So you didn't have exactly the same problem that you had on Sunday. But again, three events yesterday, starting within an hour and 25 minutes of each other, especially Audi Field and Nationals Park, centrally located next to each other or across from each other, Capital One Arena, not the very far, plus the Cherry Blossom. So Saturday you had, I think the Wizards were hosting the Brooklyn Nets. I believe that was at night. Columbus and DC United at Audi, and a Nationals-Phillies game. So again, not as bad in terms of the time, but my goodness, like, can we possibly do better? Like, just from yes, it's great to have a lot of stuff, a lot of vibrancy going on in the city, but a lot of traffic, a lot of congestion, and that leads to a lot of fender benders. That leads to a lot of, you know, accidents and people, because people can't drive and they get frustrated and they start switching lanes and they start driving into people. I mean, it happens every day. Every day, my heart's in my throat. Every day, I don't think I'm going to survive the idiocy on the roads. So why did we think, oh, hey, great idea? The Caps and the Sabres, quite honestly, should have played last night. There was no reason why that game that I know of had to be a 3 o'clock game. Again, wouldn't have totally eliminated some of the issues, but it would have lessened some of the congestion getting in. I came in, you know, I live in Virginia. Getting in on 66, on 395, over the 14th Street Bridge, into downtown, a mess.
Well, the Nats are in Toronto today, right?
No, yeah, today.
So that probably had to... I bet their flight times were impacted by when the game was. So
No. The Nationals are going to play at 1:35 on Sunday. That's just a standard thing. That's why I said the Capitals. D.C. Defenders, now, they have a national TV deal, right? So that game had to be probably a certain... You know, that's why that had to be. The Capitals, I love the Capitals. I was at the Capitals game, but I went to the Nationals game first, and I missed the first inning and a half because traffic was so bad. It was so horrible. Now, I left a little bit later than I should, but the GPS went from 110 to 140 on my drive. On my drive.
You're telling me, man. I've been dealing with... I was working all weekend as well, and even with the Metro, it was like worse than rush hour traffic. Yeah. It was just awful.
Again, it's good for business. It's good for tax revenue and people coming into the city and spending money, helping out, all of that. So I got it. Can we use some common sense? Can we use some... I don't know if that's the NHL. I don't know if that's the Capitals not driving that. I don't know who it is. Whoever it was, again, you may not have been able to do anything about the DC Defenders because of the national TV deal. I think that game was on ESPN or wherever it was. The Nationals always play at 1:35 on Sunday. Again, you can't put that game Sunday night because of Sunday night baseball. I got it. I mean, I guess you could have put it Sunday night if ESPN had chosen it. But my point being is, on Cherry Blossom weekend, way, 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 way too much, somebody's got to use their brain and not schedule all of that in a big, gigantic cluster, you know what. Use your common sense. I mean, it's just... That's what we don't use enough of in sports today. Common sense. I say this all the time, right? Kevin Willard, just to go back to him for a sec, used no common sense. He could have easily taken the Villanova job, never caused any of this nonsense, done it all privately, asked about the rumors, speculation. Guys, I'm not here to talk about anything else. I'm here as the coach of Maryland. All I care about is my guys, and that's all we're going to talk about. End of story. And let the speculation be what the speculation was. As it was, you had all the speculation, and you had him running around, come on, use common sense. I argued this forever with the Redskins. Bruce Allen used very little common sense. He didn't have great business sense either for somebody that had a strong business acumen, supposedly, when he was hired. But he used no common sense, or very little common sense. Dan Snyder had probably not an ounce of common sense. I think Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, not that I'm always going to agree with them, Josh Harris, but I think they largely, so far, use common sense. There's a difference. There's a difference. All right. We'll save the Capitals. I want to get a couple of phone calls in here. But I did want to mention this to set up Jimmy in Fort Washington here, and then we'll get to Paulie. The Tush Push is kind of like the big national story. As you know, the Green Bay Packers want it outlawed. The Bills agree, even though they use it a lot. The Eagles are pissed off at everybody. You know, Nick Sirianni saying, hey, man, you know, all my former assistants, Jonathan Gannon, Arizona, Shane Steichen in Indianapolis. Is there somebody else that I'm thinking of? Can't remember. New Orleans what's his name? The new head coach down there. They should all vote in support of the Tush Push because it helped them get their jobs. And maybe he's not wrong. Maybe he's not wrong. I will say this. The Tush Push, I'm not worried about injuries. I'm not worried about it being too hard to stop. I'm not worried about delay of game issues. I'm not worried about any of that. I continue to be alarmed, though, and worried about the fact that they allow the Eagles at times... And, I mean, that's who I see more. I haven't paid close enough attention to the Bills doing it this way, but I see the Eagles doing it this way quite a bit, where their helmet is over the football of the center at the minimum, if not others. They're in the neutral zone. Not to mention, it used to be illegal to shove somebody, to push somebody from behind. What are we doing? Those are the two things that need to be cleaned up in order for the tush push to stay and be legal. And if you can't stop them, you can't stop them. But you can't let them line up occasionally, if not more than occasionally, illegally. Let's get to Jimmy in Fort Washington. He wants to weigh in on the tush push. What's up, Jimmy? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Bruce?
All right, Jimmy, what's going on, pal?
I agree with you with the tush push. I think they shouldn't ban that play. But I think that what they should do is they should have some stipulations on it where you can only run it out of two formations, right? And you cannot obviously aid the quarterback in advancing the ball, right? Mm. And you got to keep the ball between, I would say, the B gap, or you got to keep the ball between the A gap, right? And you got to go on count one. Right, so once you do that, it can kind of even the playing field out. Because if you can hike the ball on different counts, right, you're going to have a situation where the defense may jump off five.
Which they did in the NFC Championship game, if everybody remembers, right? Luvu jumped over the pile twice. That was one problem they had. And then on the third time, Jalen Hurts did a hard count, and John Allen, I think it was, jumped off sides or was in the neutral zone, and they called that.
Right.
So, like, to your point, if I'm understanding correctly, Jimmy, just let me circle back here and I'll give you a chance to respond, is you're saying in order to keep this legal, everybody's got to be lined up right, one. Two, it's got to be on a designated snap count so that the defense has a fair shot.
Right. And, because if you can remember, the Eagles, they did the tush push, but they had ran the ball to the outside of the formation, right? So when you're lining up, because I coached football for like 15 years, and my whole thing was I want to dictate to the defense mm-hmm. by my alignment, mm-hmm. right? So when the offense is aligning in sort of a big goal line type of formation where everybody's packed in, then your defense is going to align that way, meaning that if you run the tush push and you do a play other than the tush push where you may run the football to the outside, I think that's an unfair advantage. I think you should be able to run the tush push out of two formations. The play has got to be snapped on count one, and you got to keep it between, I would say, the guard and center. You got to keep it. And then that way, you know, you can keep an even playing field with
right.
the defense.
And most of them are, to your point, most of them are run straight ahead and in the A gap, basically on either side of the A gap. Most of them are.
Right.
You know,
right. With the quarterback being aided
yes.
with the push.
Yeah. See, that's part of my problem, too, is, again, we used to ban the push, the shove element of it. I can live with that if you're not going to allow the Eagles or any other team that runs it, and you know others are going to run it if they keep it, if they allow the center at the very minimum, and if not more than just the center, to be in the neutral zone or actually, yeah, ahead of the nose of the football. See, that's partly my problem. How many advantages are we going to give the offense on that one particular play? If you know, and I think you're coming at it from a smart and different standpoint. I would like, mm-hmm. I would like just like, hey, let's go back to the quarterback sneak, not the shove, not the push, the
right,
quarterback sneak
right.
from the offensive right. line winning at the line of scrimmage fairly and squarely.
Right.
That's it.
There you go. There you go. And then, like you said, and if the center, if the center's helmet is over top of the nose of the football,
yeah,
then right there the offense kind of got like a head start.
I got you. Right. Good. So, yeah, I got you.
So that's a good one.
All right. Good call, Jimmy. Thank you. I appreciate you very much. Good call. I appreciate you. Let's get to – all right, here he is. He wants to yell at me about NIL. Paulie is in the 757. What up, Paulie? How are you?
Hell to the W, man. Right,
I heard you call Doc yesterday, and I was not amused.
What happened, man?
I just heard you going on and on, rambling about nonsensical stuff, and then getting mad was talking over you.
Whoa. First of all, that would be you that goes on and on about nonsensical stuff. Like, you just complain about the damn traffic. Like, the world is supposed to accommodate Rooster's way home. You know the area. Find another way home then. Number two, I didn't get mad at Doc about anything. And I even apologized to Doc because I had just woken up. But I hadn't talked to Doc in a while, so I called him. You know, my thoughts wasn't all together, and I even told him that. All right? See, I can admit when I'm wrong, unlike you.
Uh-huh.
All right. Number two, you know what I mean? This whole tush-push thing, my man Jimmy, you're a little off. I agree with you saying. You're saying the same thing, Russell. Everybody needs to be lined up on sides. That's to me, that was the first problem with this tush-push. You got 8 players on offense and 8 players on defense lined up offside. Two, you shouldn't be able to push anybody, any ball carrier, behind the line of scrimmage in the back. The play should be blown dead at that point for a forward progress stop. All right, that's how you solve that problem. The NIL thing, bro, it seems like you just like to be the oppressor because you're saying it's free. It should be free enterprise for the university, the athletic department, the AD, the head coach, but the players should be some type of rules and stipulations for the players. Well, if that's the case, it should be rules and stipulations for everybody, not just the players. Because last time I checked, all of this is happening because the ability of the players. You know, so I don't agree with you saying, well, I'm the only one. You might have been the only one, but only one is wrong because the players got every right to go to any university they want to go to for any amount of money they want to. And you count in their pockets, but I don't see you counting anybody else's pockets. Because if you can pay a Darren McQueen $1.5 million, and I'm just throwing that number out there, I don't know exactly what the number is, but if you can pay a Darren McQueen that money, so how much money is the coach making? How much money is the school actually making if you can play a player $1.5 million? And as far as
the school isn't paying them. That's the point. The school is not.
The school is getting some.
The school runs a collective, but they're not paying actually the players right now.
The school is getting some of that money. We just don't know.
I don't know how that breaks down. And as far as coaches, you ever hear of a buyout?
No.
You ever hear of a buyout?
We just don't know. We just don't know because they're not opening up books. Period.
That's fair.
Once somebody start opening up some books, then we can have a different conversation, a very real conversation. Right now, it's like hearsay in court. You know what I mean? That's basically what's going on.
Well, part of it, those boosters are not necessarily paying the school directly to pay the kids. Boosters can now pay the kids. So that's why you can't really keep track of it that way.
There's an NIL collective where it's somewhat regulated. It's not just a shady booster like we used to have, under the table, not on the books, whatever. I mean, there's some regulation.
But like if you own a local car dealership, you can just be like, hey, we're giving this kid an endorsement. Yeah, he's going to sell our cars and we're going to pay him whatever we want.
My point is there's not enough regulation. This isn't about trying to not pay.
Before,
go ahead.
This is like before. It would be a situation like, okay, this certain car dealership is giving somebody a job, wink, wink, but the dude never shows up to work. You know what I mean? It's just they're getting their money. But on the books, is they're working. So I understand what y'all are saying. I'm just saying it's free enterprise. If it's free enterprise for everybody else involved, it should be free enterprise for the players. So the people we should be mad at is not the players taking advantage of the money. It should be the people who's putting this whole program together. They just went at this thing all nilly-willy, thinking like, okay, now we can pay the players without without consequences because we was paying them under the table anyways. So the problem is with the people that's in charge of all of this, not the players. They just do it. They're exercising their right of free enterprise. It's a business. That's also my thing is to come down on the players or even the fans saying, "Well, you got what you want, the Wild Wild West."
I mean, it's true.
It ain't really about the fans.
It's true. Fans wanted players to get paid and to get paid what they're worth and what the free market dictates.
Exactly.
That's what they wanted.
What I'm saying
to have unlimited.
There's a small percentage of people who are complaining about this tournament. To me, I thought it was a great tournament.
Okay.
You've seen some of the best games.
Haven't heard anybody bitch about no Cinderella and no mid-major teams?
I said it's a small percentage of people who are complaining about
I don't think it's
that.
As small as you think
but
it is.
Why would you want – it is smaller than you think it is. All right? That's my opinion and your opinion. Two different opinions.
Right.
It's nothing factual. Right. Show me some facts. If you can't show me no facts –
Well, you can't show me any facts either.
Your opinion.
I mean, you know
– I just said it's my opinion.
Okay. So there we go. Goodbye, Paulie. Enough. I know it's your opinion. It's my opinion. Brendan Dar, Darnomics, who used to work here before we chased him out of here. He said, no one is bitching. The ratings are the highest since the 90s. Again, the ratings are an abstract sample size. It's also an extreme year given the four best teams are four of the best teams of all time by KenPom. Yeah, the four number one seeds. We said this is an anomaly, not a trend, until it becomes a trend. He said there was an 11 seed in the Final Four last year. I alluded to that earlier in the show. The Final Four the year before had a 4, 2, 5s, and a 9. We talked about that. Again, it's an anomaly until it becomes a trend. But make no mistake about it. Again, teams with more NIL money and the ability to pay not only just one player, an entire roster, depth, something Maryland didn't have. Ability to absorb injuries, something Auburn and Florida found out about over the last couple of days. It wasn't a killer injury. It wasn't a killer blow. The more money you have, the more resources you have, the better your chance is. Doesn't guarantee anything. The better your chance to actually absorb injuries or dips in production. That's undeniable. Undeniable. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we continue the Capitals striking while the iron is hot. Details next. Stay with us.
Here's a tip from Ovechkin. And a shot here from the outside. And it's in front of a score. And Alex Ovechkin got it. The tip of the shot from the left point. The Great Eight has 890 goals. It's 6-4. He needs 5 to pass Wayne Gretzky for the all-time record.
John Walton on the call yesterday. Caps Radio, 106.7, the Fan Odyssey app. Number 890. His pursuit, as you heard John Walton say, of the great one, 894. And therefore, 4-5, 5-5 is presented by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. It was a bad day for the Capitals. Give up 8 goals, 1 empty netter. Obviously the defense was not good. And neither was Logan Thompson. Ovechkin scoring on the deflection. I thought he had 891, as I mentioned earlier in the show. I put up a great video on Instagram. I think I put it, pretty sure it's on IG. At Chris Russell DC, I was like focusing on Ovechkin. He was at the top middle center point and just blasted one. And Pierre-Luc Dubois had to get in the way of 891. I mean, even his wife, his kid, I'm seeing it now, right? It made its Oh, no, no, no. This was what's on my screen now is the one that counted to make it 6-4. He scored. We thought he scored 891 after that to make it 6-5. They did actually score. But again, PLD deflected it off the cannon shot from midpoint. And Ovechkin had to settle for 890. Now the Caps lose. Okay, three in a row. They'll figure that out. They're in Boston tomorrow night, Carolina Wednesday night, as we mentioned. Chicago home Friday night. My sense is Ovechkin's going to have a big week. And he's going to break the record Friday night at home.
You think it's going to be that soon?
He needs five. It's not, I mean, you know, that's, it's of course, a lot, but I mean, he's capable of putting a spurt together. It's been a little while since he's had an OV spurt.
True. I have some money writing on this with the boys over on the B. Mitch and Finley show.
What was your
prediction? We all picked dates a couple months ago.
I remember this, but I don't remember what prediction you had.
I got April 12th. We all picked two. I got April 12th against Columbus and then April 15th, and I forget who that's against.
I mean, listen, is that more? I think April 15th is against the Islanders.
Yeah, it might be the Islanders. Yeah.
Is that more likely than my scenario? Yes. Boston sucks, one. Two, again, we were talking about this, you know, like you go down to Carolina, tough, back-to-back, you know, it's a two-hour-ish flight, whatever. You know, it's tough. I don't know. He's just got such a flair for the dramatic that I think with five goals remaining, I can just see one of those monster weeks where, you know, at home Friday night, not a lot going on. You know, the Nationals are home Friday night against the D-backs. Nobody cares per se about that. The Final Four the next night. It's not WrestleMania weekend. I could just see the remember he scored a hat trick in Chicago at the United Center to get to 800 to set up passing Gordie Howe two nights later, a game that I was at.
I do remember that. That was pretty awesome to watch. Because everyone's like, man, he's only a couple goals away, and he did it.
I mean, it's possible. Again, the Great Chase is presented by our friends at Main Street Bank. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Now, the Caps were busy today. They signed a seventh-round pick early in the day. That was not the signing that everybody wanted. Instead, just as the show was in its first segment, so I missed it for a little while, busy doing the show, they announced Ryan Leonard, the former 2023 first-round pick, eighth overall. BC eliminated last night in college hockey. Not going to the Final Four. Ryan Leonard is in the fold. A three-year contract worth an average annual value of $950,000. 20 years old, 49 points, 30 goals, 19 assists, 37 games with BC. 6 foot, 200 pounds. Led the nation in goals. First player back-to-back seasons of 30 goals or more since Boston College's Cam Atkinson in 2010 and 2011. 9 game-winning goals, 10th in the country in points. Top 10 finalist for the Hobey Baker Memorial Award, essentially the MVP. Freshman year at BC last year. 60 points, 31 goals, 29 assists, 41 games. Plus minus, plus 35. 109 career collegiate points in 78 games played. 61 goals, 48 assists. If you look at, now, listen, I have no idea exactly how they're going to implement him. I would imagine he does not play either of the next two nights. I would imagine that. Maybe Friday. Maybe it'll take a little longer. I want to acclimate him to the system, terminology, whatever. Get him comfortable, teammates, So I could be wrong, but I don't think you're going to see like Ryan Leonard tomorrow night in Boston. But maybe. I can't rule anything out. I can't rule anything out. But this is a big addition, right? For everybody that was kind of wondering, oh, Anthony Beauvillier. And Beauvillier has been fine. They knew Ryan Leonard was coming. It was just a matter of when. And it would have happened next week, too, after the Final Four in hockey. Next week. But it just so happened now. So now they have a greater chance to acclimate him and to get him up to speed. Huge addition. Who knows how he plays? But the Capitals have some really, really good talent on the way. And obviously this is a big one. Protas' little brother is another. They got a couple of defensemen. I mean, and don't forget, Ovi's contract, one more year left. Almost surely the end. John Carlson also goes into the final year of his deal next year. Hard to imagine that's going to be a long-term contract at 36, 37? Maybe a one-year extension? I don't know. We'll see. But they're going to be shedding Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Alex Ovechkin, John Carlson, in all likelihood over the next year and change from the payroll, and supplementing a lot of these young guys in with the Tom Wilsons and the Protases. Don't forget, Marishnichenko, who's been up and down. Caps are going to, I think, you know, they got their goaltending settled. They got a bunch of their defensemen under contract and extensions. Chychrun, Matt Roy. I think the Caps are going to be fine. All right, 336, Team 980. Time for a trending alert, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show with a couple of loose ends on a Monday afternoon. Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah, so as we just mentioned, Ryan Leonard in the fold for the Capitals, who are in Boston tomorrow night, again with Alex Ovechkin chasing Wayne Gretzky, as you just heard, with the goal yesterday as part of a bad loss to the Buffalo Sabres, who are not going to make the playoffs again this year, which is 14 years in a row. Meanwhile, college football, weird to be having this kind of news. Frank Reich, remember him? Longtime Indianapolis Colts coach, Maryland product, was with the Carolina Panthers for less than a year, has been out of football for the last year plus. He's been hired as the replacement on an interim level for the 2025 season, though, at Stanford, after Stanford fired their head coach, Troy Taylor, last week. So Frank Reich back in college football with Stanford. Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, said they had a big swing and miss on the Deshaun Watson deal. Yeah, I would say so. No surprise there, Sherlock. He said, quote, "The trade was an entire organization decision, and it ends with D, his wife, and I. So hold us accountable." We are. And finally, the Nationals, with win number one on the year last year. They're in Toronto tonight, 7:07, 6:37, the coverage on 106.7 The Fan. And that's what's trending. All right, coming up, dum-dum of the day before we get on out of here. 4 o'clock, Craig Hoffman. He'll take you home on a Monday afternoon. Craig and I feel very, 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 very differently about Kevin Willard. Again, I'm not mad that Kevin Willard left for Villanova. He should. It's a better job. It's closer to home. It's what he's looking for. Not a basketball first school. All of that. Not mad at all. He should have handled it like a professional. Instead, he handled it like a clown and turned this thing into a circus. Everybody's got a right to do whatever they want as long as it's legal. Kevin Willard committed no crime. No problem with him leaving.
Only because it's not a crime to be a jerk.
I mean, you want to call him a jerk? Certainly that's the way it comes across. I don't truly believe jerk is what he is. I think he I think he's a guy that wanted what he wanted, decided, especially when Damon Evans left, that it was very unlikely to happen here. And even though they made him assurances, by that point he had moved on emotionally, and he was going to throw them under the bus or under an 18-wheeler on the way out the door. I think he had already mentally moved on before the NCAA tournament.
I mean, none of that excuses what he did to those kids, like lost their moment because of his circus.
I agree. Tonight on the Team 980, Heat Wizards at 6:45 following Craig. Did you know at 10:45 tonight, there's something called the Crown Basketball Tournament. And the Georgetown Hoyas are playing in it against Washington State. So I saw this on the schedule over the weekend.
This is a new tournament, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw this over the weekend, and I was like, wait a second. This got to be, like, I don't know, Georgetown lacrosse or something like that. I was like, this can't be what it is, right? It just can't be. Like, a college, I've never heard of this. And sure as you know what, the Crown Basketball Tournament is this new tournament that was put together with Fox and out in Vegas, right? So it gives Fox programming, FS2, whatever. And the way they're doing it is they are awarding NIL money to the winning team. So they have it's a 16-team tournament, men's basketball, right? Again, all in Vegas. They had a selection process for at-large teams and trying to find the exact way they did it. The tournament, again, will have a prize pool that awards a $300,000 NIL package to the winning school. So if Georgetown goes out and win this, they get an extra $300,000 in addition to more practice, more playing time, more seasoning, whatever.
Probably spend a night in New York with that kind of money.
Yeah,
the whole team.
Yeah, there you go. You get $300,000, right, to spend on players, right? The school, there you go. Second place team earns a $100,000. Two semifinalists, $50,000 through what's called the Vivid Seats Ambassador Program, whatever that is. Vivid Seats is obviously a ticket marketplace thing. So they're saying, you know, basically we're trying to, you know, raise the experience for student athletes. First of all, again, they're not student athletes. They're professional athletes representing colleges and universities. It's basically, again, like, but it's also like a little scouting combine too, because NBA teams are sending reps there to take a look at these kids, right? So again, Arizona State, Boise State, Butler, Cincinnati, Colorado, DePaul, Georgetown, George Washington, also a local, Nebraska, Oregon State, Tulane, UCF, USC, Utah, Villanova. You think Kevin Willard's going to show up? And Washington State are all participating in the tournament. Games at MGM Grand, you know, so it's got a summer league NBA vibe to it. Runs from tonight. Games are going on right now through April 6th. The final will be on Fox. FS1 gets, you know, a bunch of the whatever. Again, we just told you about the NIL stuff. There's other prizes available. So this is an interesting concept. I might be tempted to tune this in late tonight while I'm working. I mean, Georgetown hasn't played a game in, what, 3 weeks? So it'll be really interesting to see the quality. Not to mention, teams have already lost transfer portal people. Once you put your name in the transfer portal, you're done. It's not like, you know, if you're in the transfer portal and you haven't decided on a new home yet, that you can then go and play for your current team. So it'd be interesting. So the game's
can you not go back? If like if say no team is interested in you, can you not stay with your school?
That's my understanding. I could have that wrong, but my understanding is once you enter officially the transfer portal, like you officially register, whatever, I don't believe you can go back to your former program or your, I guess, current program or maybe there's a way to rescind that I'm not aware of, but that's what I believe. So it'll be interesting. Again, two locals, G-Dub and Georgetown. Yeah, I thought about this. A lot has been made out of who's going to now replace Kevin Willard. And Tony Skin's been mentioned. I think he just got a contract extension at George Mason. Dwayne Simpkins has been mentioned, led American to the NCAA tournament or the play-in game, but technically the NCAA tournament, Patriot League champions. You know, again, both have Maryland ties, Dwayne more so than Tony, but Tony's got them as well. Would Maryland consider Ed Cooley? Again, Ed Cooley went from Providence to Georgetown, stayed in the Big East. It's all he knows. So he didn't really know the whole thing about the revenue share and Kevin Willard and whatever. I mean, Georgetown's got, you know, a football team, but I mean, it doesn't take the money that the Maryland Terrapins football team takes. Just a thought. I've heard nobody mention it. I have no reason to think it's anything real. But if you're Maryland, why wouldn't you at least make a call? See if there's any interest. Right? I mean, Cooley did a pretty good job. This year was much better than his first year. Everybody knew it was going to take 2 to 3 years to really turn the program around. He's got an excellent pedigree. Seems like they're making progress. It's worth a call. I've heard nobody mention it. Very unlikely, but worth a call. All right, coming up next, dum-dum of the day. We wrap it up with something that happened on an airplane that should never, ever, ever happen. But it happened to this CEO of a pretty major company. That's next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we got to go quickly here. You know what time it is. We wrap up the show this way. Ah, yes. A first-class airline passenger on an American Airlines plane decided to pleasure himself for over an hour on a flight from New York City to Milan while sitting next to a CEO, a female CEO, of three different companies on a flight at the end of last May on the way from JFK to Milan, according to a new lawsuit. And the CEO said she couldn't fall asleep because she saw what was going on and she feared that the male passenger would assault her. Now, unfortunately, the male passenger is not named. He's just named as John Doe. But apparently he was drinking multiple glasses of champagne before performing such a lewd act. Apparently, again, for approximately 60 minutes, according to the lawsuit, John Doe continued to masturbate. And when the CEO complained, an airline attendant said, "That's just what men do. Men just do stuff like that."
Whoa.
That was the response. So therefore, a lawsuit was filed. People, we live in a sick society. Just accept that and get used to it. It makes NIL money not that big of a deal, huh? That about does it for Dumb Dumb of the Day. But before we get out of here, before we turn things over to Craig Hoffman, we have a special little surprise. Metal Chris is the father of two young daughters, one of which is 5 years old, and she's making her radio debut. Daddy said, hey, I'm going to work with the Rooster today, Chris Russell. And here was her response.
All right, where do you think Rooster lives?
On the top of a barn.
And what do you think he does every day?
Go, cock-a-doodle-dow! Like a rooster.
That's awesome. That is awesome. You tell that little girl that she is just the best.
She is. She really is.
I want that to be played all the well, maybe not all the time, but like at the end of every show, which is now. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. And we'll see you tomorrow at 1:00.